KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. As firefighters continue to contain the devastating wildfires in Northern California, residents are returning to cities and towns that were under mandatory evacuation.
This is all that is left, which is not much.
That was Napa resident Larry Lawrence, who lost his home.
Trying to build a plan for the future here. We're trying to look at, first of all, is debris removal, and secondly, forward construction as we get our plans in place.
Forum checks in with county officials about opening schools when many students and teachers are now homeless. We'll also hear about the health concerns of returning to fire-stricken areas. It's all coming up next, after this. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Officials say roughly 34,000 people remain evacuated from wildfires in Northern California that broke out a week ago. That's down from a high of almost 100,000, and the death toll of the fires remains at 41, with more than 5,700 homes and structures destroyed. And evacuation orders are lifted, residents are dealing with the reality of burned down or damaged homes, as well as concern about air, water, and infrastructure. And in this hour, we'll get an update from county officials about what's next, including schools reopening in light of the many students and teachers who are now homeless. We'll also talk with public health officials about how best to protect yourself if you're returning home to a fire-ravaged area. And later in the program, we'll get an update on a new fire that has recently managed to break out in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Joining me first is Scott Alonzo. He's a spokesman for Sonoma County, and we welcome you to the program, Scott Alonzo. Good to have you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I guess the place I'd like to begin with you is a progress report. I know at this point we're looking at seeing perhaps the end of this nightmare of flames, but what do we know now at this point about containment?
Well, the good news is that according to CAL FIRE officials and our firefighters on the ground, that containment is ongoing. We're making progress. The estimate is later this week, but we're still asking folks to, you know, be vigilant and be resilient if they were evacuated, and to stay updated on information from the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office and signing up for NIXLE alerts, NIXLE, to remain informed of any evacuation orders and also how to return home safely. We do put those advisories back online when the sheriff has given the go-ahead. So the good news is last night and yesterday, multiple evacuation orders were lifted in Geyserville, Windsor, in the city of Sonoma, and just north of the city of Sonoma, and also within Santa Rosa city limits in Bennett Valley and Annandale Heights. So we are making progress. We want folks to return home as safely and as quickly as possible.
Well, what's the process of letting people back in? I mean, the steps for people actually returning home.
Well, there are multiple decisions made by CAL FIRE and the county sheriff. They work together under a unified command structure with their incident management teams to ensure that the fires are no longer a threat and that folks can get back. And so we don't want to send anyone home too quickly. And so this process takes some time. We want to make sure that, you know, when we do send folks back, that the areas are clear and there isn't any threat. Now, you know, some areas of the county are still under evacuation orders. So some of the fires are still going. We still have active fires in this county. The Nuns Fire, the Pocket Fire are still active. Tubbs Fire is mostly contained but still active. And then the Oakmont Fire is only 16% contained. So, you know, there is still a danger out there. Some areas are still not safe. And if you still are under a mandatory evacuation order, you cannot return home until those orders have been lifted.
And there is an assessment process. Can you describe that for us in terms of getting people or permitting people to move back to their homes?
Absolutely. So CAL FIRE has inspectors. Our county sheriff goes out. We also have building inspectors that go out. They all are part of damage assessment teams, and they go out in these fire-ravaged areas to review the property, review the area, and see what's inhabitable, what's not, and then how can folks access getting back home. So they work with our transportation and public works department, and so we're all unified in making these recommendations. And then the process is, how do we inform the public and how do we get them back? And so you saw last night when folks were coming back to areas of Kenwood and Glen Ellen, you know, we had specific checkpoints because we wanted traffic to flow a certain way to get back into those neighborhoods. So part of this is an ongoing process. We have to make sure that when we communicate with the public, they understand, you know, what routes they can take, are the roads safe, and what's the best way for them to get home.
But before CAL FIRE actually gives a final say to lift the order, there are health experts and building inspectors. There is an assessment of food waste, hazardous materials. All of that really needs assessment, doesn't it?
It does. Now, that process is still ongoing, and that process is going to take more time. The hazardous cleanup is still ongoing. We are working with our public health department in the state of California on that. The fire debris and ash is hazardous, and that debris is still present in many of these areas. So while it's safe to return home, the debris and the ash, that is not safe. And we want to remind folks to please not clean up those materials themselves. The county is here to help you. The state is here to help you. But we have to go through a process because we have a coordinated cleanup effort that is underway with property owners. And so we want to make sure that there's a safe disposal of those materials. We don't want folks taking it to the landfill themselves. We don't want folks touching it themselves. And so they can go to the local assistance center in Santa Rosa or our county health department in downtown Santa Rosa to get information on a right of entry form and to ensure that we can get the cleanup effort underway.
We're talking to Scott Alonzo, who is a spokesperson for the county of Sonoma. Can you update us, Scott, on the hospitals? I believe Sutter Hospital has opened.
Yes, we have very good news. We are excited to report this morning as of 7 a.m., Sutter Regional Hospital in Santa Rosa is open and fully operational. All departments are there. Their staff is there. And we are very excited that Sutter is back online. As you know, they were evacuated in the early hours of the fires from last Monday. And so that they are a major regional hospital for us. And Kaiser Hospital, they were also evacuated. So losing Kaiser and Sutter was a tremendous blow on our health capacity here in Sonoma County. But Kaiser's medical office building 1 and 2 are now open. I had friends this morning getting their pharmacy prescriptions refilled under 10 minutes. So that's good news. Those buildings are open now. Kaiser's hospital is still not open. We hope to have that open as soon as possible, and it'll probably be by the end of the week.
Well, I really appreciate all the work you're doing up there, Scott, and thank you for all your reporting. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Scott Alonzo, who's a spokesperson for Sonoma County. I want to go now to Steve Harrington, who's a superintendent of schools in Sonoma County, and he's joining us by phone as well. Steve Harrington, good to have you on Forum. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, we've just heard about the hospitals. When are the schools going to be reopening? And let's talk about the challenges in that.
The schools are starting to reopen, and it's sort of like a regional reopening based on the in proximity to the fire zone. So South County is starting to open first. North County up at the coastal end has always been open. It has never closed. So those school districts, there are 40 school districts in Sonoma County. They're all autonomous. They serve about 71,000 students, and Santa Rosa City, which is our largest, serves 16,500. So we are trying to coordinate all their services for them as one point of contact with the districts, with the feds and the state. So that's where we are with schools. Schools will be reopening. Another third of the districts will reopen tomorrow, and another third will open Thursday.
But they're all different in terms of needs and impact.
Right, they are. They are all different, and their needs are all different. Those in the fire corridor, we have been working most extensively. The state superintendent of public instruction was here Friday, and we walked the sites, and we looked at the schools that have been destroyed, and we looked at the schools that are left standing, but they have no school community. So it's a neighborhood school without a neighborhood.
So you've actually got three schools, I believe, that are damaged and can't reopen, and a couple of offices that
district
have been
offices,
district
so.
Offices have been destroyed, I believe, and you've also got that educational farm that really is not at this point going to be open. Huh?
And that's destroyed as well. The two district offices have really dealt with mostly smoke damage. They're burned all around and the singed to the area. The building itself is still left standing. But they're being housed here at the county office. We have Mark West School District district office is being housed here at the Sonoma County Office of Education, and Pinar Olivet district office will be opening Wednesday here, and they will be housed here at the County Office of Education because the school site they're located on, Schaefer, basically they can't get into and operate out of anyway because it's under the National Guard. It's a closed area.
What's the abatement process for each of these schools?
Well, for an abatement, a general abatement, let's say like a school district in Windsor, they would go through all the air filters have to be pulled and cleaned. All the school surfaces have to be cleaned. If there's ash or debris on the ground, they all have to be power washed down so that all that's cleaned.
That's actually a big concern, ash is falling. Yeah.
Yeah. So all that has to be readied. And then we have the air pollution. We have to read the air quality control every day to see when we can open. We don't open for red zones. So if it's a yellow or orange, we will open. But the students will have their activities curtailed. And then... So that's where we are with that. And then the schools that are severely damaged, we're dealing with a little bit of a bureaucracy issue right now because the Division of State Architect and the local permitting division here has volunteered to review the sites, but state supersedes county, and therefore we are trying to get the state to waive off the inspection so we can just get into these sites a little faster. But one of the things on those abatements, they are looking at the schools that are destroyed. And, for example, we have Roseland Collegiate Prep, which was a charter school hosted by the Roseland Elementary School District. And they have a middle school campus, and they have a high school campus. And the high school campus is totally destroyed. Adjacent to it is its middle school campus. It's left intact. But can they put their students back in that campus? Somebody has to deem the site habitable. And that's what we're dealing with as we deal with the state bureaucracy is the Division of State Architect, that's their jurisdiction. And what we're trying to do is get somebody from the Division of State Architect to come out here and review those school sites.
We're talking with Steve Harrington, who is superintendent of schools of Sonoma County, talking with North Bay officials about how the community is coping with evacuees and with returning evacuees. Could you say some general things, Steve, about, because I know there's been a lot of suffering up there, and that's not a word that I use without a sense of its advisability. I mean, there's been so much displacement and trauma, and you've got teachers that are homeless right now, and
right.
Students.
We have over 150 school staff members that have reported lost homes, and there's about 7,000 employees countywide. And this number will grow because each district has to report in, and if those districts are not opened yet, we don't have all those counts. So this number's our base number is 150, and it will grow.
And if schools are closed, actually, theoretically, you lose state money, but the state has stepped up to the plate here, I believe, haven't they?
Yes, theoretically, we would lose $2,800,000 a day if we didn't get state waivers, and we have a state waiver that the state superintendent and I have signed, so schools will get their full day's pay.
And are you doing documentation for FEMA reimbursement, and to what extent?
Yes, we are doing I've been a superintendent for 36 years, and I've dealt with FEMA on multiple occasions, and I've cautioned the districts very carefully that they need to document. Not only the staff needs to sign in and sign out if they're doing abatement, they need the products listed, they need all sorts of things. So when you make your claim, first to your insurance carrier, and you have a balance left unpaid, you make it to FEMA next, and they will honor it up front, and then you have to close out the project at the end, and you don't want to be disqualified and have to send money back to them.
Again, Steve Harrington with us, superintendent of schools. I want to now bring Terrence Mulligan on. He's president of Napa Valley Community Foundation, and he joins us from up in Napa. And Terrence Mulligan, good to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Good morning to you. And let's talk about, Sonoma got hit a lot harder than Napa, but as I think you put it, there are more eggs in the one basket, economically speaking, up there in Napa. And at this point, I think it's safe to say the bulk of your resources, getting some emergency cash by the week's end, is going to go to those people who need it the most, those who are without a paycheck and who have lost their jobs?
Yeah, Michael, I think that's going to be our focus. We saw less loss of life and less loss of property in Napa than our friends over the hill in Sonoma, and by which I mean maybe there's going to be 400 homes that have burned to the ground when all is said and done here. And that's no small thing, but it is not the 4,000 homes that have been destroyed or are uninhabitable in Sonoma. And when you are living in a post-fire economy, which is largely driven by viticulture and hospitality, we think that as much as 30% of our labor force is going to be struggling to put groceries on the table, because so many folks who rely on people visiting Napa, well, visitation rates have stopped, and we think they'll come back. But for now, we're worried about low to moderate income wage earners who are unable to support their families and get groceries on the table because they're just not able to work.
And a lot of these families are immigrant families. I mean, they're the backbone of your workforce up there. Are many afraid to sign up for any kind of federal aid because of the immigration concerns?
That is certainly an issue up here. And what we know is that there are at least 11,000 and possibly as many as 15,000 undocumented community members here in Napa, where the county population is 140,000 or so. And if you go to knock on the government's door and you're undocumented, you don't get a cash grant from FEMA, and you don't get disaster unemployment assistance. And so we're going to try, as we did after the earthquake, to target our philanthropic resources where they will do the most good. And that may mean trying to get to people who are not eligible for other forms of assistance, such as EDD, unemployment, et cetera. And we're just going to have to wait and see what kind of activity we get. The local assistance center opened up yesterday in Napa, and already 85 or 100 folks went through there yesterday. And I expect by week's end that number will grow.
And again, we're talking now with Terrence Mulligan, who's president of the Napa Valley Community Foundation. I want to bring Karen Reluccio on with us. She's a public health officer with Napa County. And Karen Reluccio, good to have you. Welcome. Karen Reluccio, are you there? Karen, I'm not hearing you. Could you speak up, please?
I'm on the phone.
Okay. Are you on the phone with us, though? That's the central question here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. I'm sorry. We seem to have difficulty there for a moment. Health concerns. Many people have them, especially returning to their homes. What can they do to protect themselves?
Yes. So for people that are going into wildfire-damaged areas, you know, they're going to want to look through the remains to see if there's anything of value that might have belonged to their family. And so it's really important to remember is that the ash is toxic. Just imagine that you had all your household chemicals, you know, including gasoline, propane, pesticides, anything else, that melted along with the paint and, you know, all the debris. So remember that the ash is toxic, and it's important to wear personal protective equipment, such as an N95 respirator, goggles, long sleeve shirt and pants, construction gloves, and construction boots, because the debris is also sharp. So it's really important as people try to repopulate, recover, and rebuild that they want to do everything to prevent from being ill or injured as a result of going through the debris.
The caveat is don't remove debris,
unless, right.
Unless you're equipped. And even if you're equipped, be very careful as you sift through. Can you talk about air quality? I mean, it's gotten a lot better, or at least considerably better, hasn't it?
It's actually shifting a lot. So the air quality can change from the morning until the afternoon. So, for example, yesterday the air quality index was at an orange, meaning that it impacts health of people that are sensitive to the effects of air quality. So, for example, children, seniors, and people with underlying respiratory conditions are a particular risk when it's orange. Now, in the afternoon, it was moderate. So it was people that have really susceptible, I mean, they have lung disease, which makes them particularly susceptible to that. But most other people can withstand, yellow means moderate risk. This morning, it's at red. So a lot of it is dependent on wind conditions. So we have east winds pushing more smoke inland into Napa and Solano County. So it's really important to follow the Bay Area Air Quality Management District website that tracks air quality by the hour.
And that includes particulate matter, right?
Yes, yes.
And I'm sorry, I was just going to also ask you, the best mask, I believe, is a 95. That's what you recommend?
That's correct. But the N95 is not a foolproof, protection. So people that are particularly sensitive to the effects of smoke should really stay inside with doors and windows closed and avoid from having outside air go into the home. The thing with N95 respirators is they're most effective when they're fit tested for an individual. So healthcare providers and first responders may be fit tested for N95 masks, but the general public is not.
And can sorry. Also, I thought maybe we could talk for a moment about air filters.
HEPA filters?
Yeah. Any recommendations specifically people keep asking about?
Well, I think it's a benefit to have a HEPA filter in the house if at all possible. That's all I can really tell you. I'm not an air filter expert, but it is a benefit to do that. And just trying to make sure that outside air doesn't go in.
I'm actually looking at a comment from a listener named Ernst who says, I'd like to make a suggestion for air quality monitors. The airnow.gov website is based on only one sensor on Arkansas State, and the data is often several hours old. I just got a Purple Air monitor, and they keep up-to-date information available. PurpleAir.com has maps with air quality data that is much better than the airnow.gov site. So we're getting some listener response. And in fact, speaking of listener response, let me invite those of you who are listening to join us now if you have questions or comments for our guests, or if you have some story of your own that you would simply want to tell our large community of listeners here. We have Steve Harrington with us, who's superintendent of schools for Sonoma County, Terrence Mulligan, who's president of the Napa Valley Community Foundation, and Dr. Karen Reluccio, who is the public health officer for Napa County. Let's hear from you, and let's hear what's on your mind. Any questions or comments are welcome, and you can join us right now at our toll-free number. The number to call is 866-733-6786. Particularly like to hear from some of you who are going through the evacuation return process and have some things to highlight. Again, you can join us now at our toll-free number, and that number to call is 866-733-6786. You can also email anything you have on your mind to us. The email address is forum@kqed.org, or you can go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or you can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. We'll hear from you when we return. And again, we're talking about North Bay residents returning after the evacuation orders have lifted. I know many of you have your own story, so feel free to join us and let us know what's been going on in your lives. Let me say goodbye to Karen Reluccio, and thank you for joining us, Karen Reluccio. She's public health officer again with Napa County. When we return, it's your turn, listeners. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're continuing our complete coverage of the fires that have been raging in the North Bay. And also, we'll give you an update on fires going on in Santa Cruz. Residents are returning after evacuation orders have been lifted. And we want to bring in Sheriff Robert Giordano, who is Sheriff of Sonoma County. And Sheriff, good to have you with us. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, and pleasure to have you. But in the wake of this I just have to ask you about something that's not too pleasurable to ask, and that is the about 100 people that are missing still. It's looking bad.
Yeah, actually, our current outstanding number is down to 65. That's still not a good number, but it's better than it was. I have teams out there today working on that number, trying to find those people. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but I do have concerns about more victims of the fire.
Well, how do you? We've been talking about evacuations. How do you decide to let people in, and how do you support them once they go in?
So what we're doing is we're taking the neighborhoods that are intact, and we're identifying whole blocks of intact neighborhoods in the evacuation areas. First, make sure fire says it's safe and there's no fire threat in there. PG&E goes in, a lot of utilities people make sure everything's safe. And then what we're doing is we're putting out a broadcast on our Nixle service with instructions that says, this neighborhood's going to open up at this time. These are the roads that are open. And we try and get people back in their homes, get back to some sense of normal. And we put deputies and other law enforcement officers from around the Bay Area in the area just to patrol, get them in their houses safely. But once they're back in, that life as normal or as normal as can be now, we let the people return to that. And the neighborhood's safe when all the people are in it.
At this point, what can you tell us about looting? I know Santa Rosa had a curfew because of looting. Has there been a considerable amount of looting or not?
You know, we have had calls the entire time of suspicious people and potential looters. We have not seen a significant problem, but we've made 14 arrests of people we believed were going into loot. We didn't catch them doing it because we think we arrested them before they did. And just as an example, we had somebody in a fake fire truck, you know, a decommissioned fire truck that somebody owned that tried to get in. We had people in fake security jackets trying to get in, both arrested. So we've taken a few people to jail. We have right now, this county runs about 30 law enforcement officers in any given shift of the sheriff's office. We're running about 150 in the sheriff's office jurisdiction right now. So we have a lot of police out there patrolling everything.
Well, once CAL FIRE gives the final say to lift the order, what do you do exactly?
So there's a whole team of people working out of the fire camp that works on the between CHP, Santa Rosa Police, Sheriff's Office, fire, and even the health department. So here's a good example. When we get to the burned areas, what we're going to do is let people in to see their homes, get their things. We have health department workers be handing out information about safety. So it'll work very much in the same way as the whole neighborhood's broadcast, instructions, bring your ID, go and get your things, but it'll be closed at night. So that's how we'll handle those pieces of that.
Sheriff Giordani, again, my thanks for joining us. Appreciate your being with us this morning on Forum.
Thank you for having me.
That's Sheriff Robert Giordano. Again, he's the sheriff of Sonoma County. I want to bring Tanya Mosley in now. She's a senior Silicon Valley correspondent with KQED News. Reporting on the fires, she has been reporting from Sonoma County. Now she's in Santa Cruz. And Tanya, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, good morning.
Update us. What's going on in Santa Cruz?
So right now I'm in the Santa Cruz Mountains up in the Bear Creek area. It's smoky. There are embers in the air. I have a few updates about this fire, and I'm also going to give you just a little bit of background just in case you don't have it. So this fire is about 152 acres are burning right now. It's at 5% containment. At about 10:30 last night, firefighters received word of a house fire, and that quickly spread into this wild terrain. So to give you a lay of the land, it is populated. There are houses here, but they're spread apart. So once the fire engulfed that house, then it quickly spread to the wild terrain. And over 150 people were evacuated. 150 homes were evacuated to two evacuation centers here. Those folks are from the Deer Creek area and the Las Cubas area. Five firefighters have been injured, minor injuries at this time. And there are crews from all over this area who are assisting. As you can imagine, a lot of these crews also went up to Sonoma County to assist, and many of those guys are still there. So they have folks from further south who have come here to assist in the fires.
At this point, then, we're just at 5%. What's the expectation? Or what's the hope?
Yes. So the differences between this fire and the fire up in Sonoma County is that there's a lot more humidity in the air here, and it is also very dry, but it's humid and there's not a lot of wind. So we're talking about 7-mile-an-hour winds. So that actually helps firefighters in containing this fire. You probably can hear in the background there are helicopters up in the air throwing down fire retardant, and they're really trying to tackle this to contain it. It is a wilder area, so they're hopeful that it will not spread to some of those centers where it's more populated. But I should receive another update in about a half an hour.
Okay, and we'll wait for that. And Tanya, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's Tanya Mosley, senior Silicon Valley correspondent with KQED News, reporting on the fires from Santa Cruz in the mountains there. And We're talking with North Bay officials about how the community is coping with evacuees returning home. Steve Harrington with us, superintendent of schools of Sonoma County, and Terrence Mulligan, president of the Napa Valley Community Foundation. And let me go right to your calls, and let's begin with a Napa caller. Perry, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi, Terrence. Thank you for taking my phone call, and thanks for opening this up to the community. I have a couple questions. I've heard or visited some sites that say it's better, instead of donations of product, clothes, toiletries, to actually donate money. Is that true?
Let me go to you on that, if I could, Terrence Mulligan.
Yes, Perry, thank you for that question. It is absolutely true that what is needed most is cash donations or donations of gift cards. It's a wonderful thing about human nature that after something like this, people drive up in their trucks from all over the place to give blankets and pillows and food items and so forth, and they just can't all be used. I mean, there were 10 trucks a day that were being turned away from the shelter center at the Napa Valley Community College at one point several days ago. And so the message is we need your support. Sonoma needs your support. Mendocino County needs your support. Every community foundation in every one of those places is acting as a central hub for collecting cash donations. And we are also accepting gift cards that we're putting into the hands of our trusted nonprofit partners that are experienced at case management and emergency financial assistance and sitting in the local assistance center as we speak to help residents.
And let me thank Perry for the call. And again, that's Terrence Mulligan, president of the Napa Valley Community Foundation. We're discussing reentering after evacuation. And what has been your experience? What questions do you have? You can email them to us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum. The county superintendent, Sonoma County Superintendent of Schools, Steve Harrington, also with us, talking about what's happening in terms of the public schools. And a question, actually, Terrence Mulligan, from a listener, I'd like to go to you with an important question from Rick, who says, will the building departments cut their fees for these tragic events? The fees to build and remodel a home have become enormous in the last 20 years.
I don't have any intel on what the building department in Napa may do. Much of the damage in terms of lost homes is not in the city of Napa, but rather in the unincorporated county. I can tell you that after the big earthquake here in 2014, the Napa Building Department did waive fees for a certain period of time for those that were needing to do rebuilding. And my hope would be something similar might happen here, but I don't have word on that.
And before I go to more callers, Steve Harrington, let me go back to you. What's the district doing to help teachers, many of them, as we've said, without homes, without places of residence at all?
Well, we do have the local fund that the county has set up, which is a little close to about $2.5 million in it, as they'll be doing for those that are homes have been burned. Ourselves as a county office, for our employees, we have set up a cash draw for employees so they can draw against their check early just because they need cash. And we've also are doing gift cards from our cash accounts so that they can have supplies. The public and the community has been very generous. Many of our teachers, there's a group collecting money to help reinstate those teachers that lost computers or laptops. So, and we have a website if anyone's interested. It's SCOE.org, and you go to School Fire Relief, and you can make a direct donation to your local school through our website so that they can get materials and supplies needed. So that's what we're collectively doing.
And, Superintendent, I have to ask, do you know how many students or staff members have actually lost their homes or places of
residence?
Well,
at this time we have, and as I said, this number is climbing. We have 280 students who have lost their homes, and that's out of our 71,000 students. But it's climbing each day as schools open. We get a new headcount, and the number climbs by about another 100 a day.
And let me bring more of our callers on. Let me go next to caller in Petaluma. Kate, you're on the air. Good morning.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm in Sonoma County about 10 minutes from the fires, and last week I was relying on social media to figure out what to do. I'm wondering whether state, city, county officials are aware that their websites that they're directing us to in the middle of these, you know, chaotic experiences actually cannot handle an influx of web traffic. My internet was fine. Google, Facebook, Twitter, any other website I wanted would load, but accessing fire maps, trying to figure out evacuation routes, trying to figure out air quality. People were sharing these links on social media to state, local, county websites to try to figure out what we should do, whether or not we'd need to evacuate. These websites could not handle an influx of traffic, and I'm wondering whether or not people are aware of that, and if so, what they're doing to mitigate that, because we also live in Earthquake County.
Yeah, an important question, and let me put it out there. If listeners have a response to that, I mean, what to do, again, to mitigate, to use your word, about all the social media influx, we'd certainly like to hear from you. Any thoughts or ideas that you have or the experiences that you've had? Let me thank you, Kate, for bringing that up. And also, let me go back, if I may, to Superintendent Harrington, Steve Harrington, Superintendent of Schools up in Sonoma County. How does the district plan to support teachers and students who are homeless? Are there any plans in the works?
Well, we do have a set up a mental health assistance line and for teachers and staff, and then we're also we have what is called a SOS team, a systems of support team, and they consist of mental health counselors, teacher counselors, and they have been prepping with the county behavioral health staff, and they're going into each of the school sites. We're doing triage first, those directly impacted, those schools and communities that are just gone, and those children will have to come back into those settings. So they're out in this field right now, and they met last night for training orientation. Today they're doing another orientation, and what we're doing is a trainer of trainers so that all the school districts can get support. Then the behavioral health is setting up with our insurance brokers a hotline for teachers to talk to if they have issues personally, but also if dealing with children issues as they deal with the return to school. So that's what we're trying to help with, the mental health prevention portion of it. I talked about the financial support system we've set up for teachers so they can make draws against their paychecks, and we're working on that as well.
You talked earlier also about the fact that there are 40 school districts in the county and all are different. The biggest, of course, I believe the largest are in Santa Rosa, but schools on the coast, you got about 76,000 students there and they remain closed?
Schools on the coast are open. They have been
open. Okay, good.
They are open. They have been open even when those fires were occurring on this side of the mountain. We have another mountain range on the other side, and those schools are open, and those would be Horicon, Kashaya, Fort Ross. These are small districts. I think the smallest one over there is 12 students. So, I mean, we're talking a little one-room schoolhouses over that coast.
Yeah, let me get some more callers on here. Catherine joins us from Sacramento. Catherine, you're on. Morning.
Yes, I was wanting to know what the impact of the fires has been on churches in particular, and perhaps on businesses also. I don't see any mention of those categories.
Yeah, Terrence Mulligan, want to address that in Napa?
Fortunately, in Napa, to the best of my knowledge, the impact has been minimal. In fact, we've seen quite a few local faith communities step up and offer their church halls or their auxiliary spaces to community members who had to be evacuated for some period of time. I'm aware that there are a handful of businesses, mostly wineries and vineyards, that have been burned out, and people have read about those stories in the newspaper. But in the sort of urban core of the big cities, well, none of them are really big, to be honest with you, but in the municipal areas of Napa, St. Helena, Calistoga, et cetera, there hasn't been, fortunately, there has not been a lot of damage. I think the concern we have is around the economic losses that we may have to deal with as the rate of visitation has slowed down, as folks are not able to get out and harvest the last 10 or 15% of the Cabernet that's still out there, as people aren't able to get to their wineries to actually process the wines that have already been put in recent weeks, et cetera.
And in fact, Sonoma, of course, businesses have been hit very hard. I don't know about the churches in Sonoma, but maybe someone can.
Well, I can talk to you a little
bit. Can you clue us in on that, Steve Harrington? Yeah.
Yeah, we have Cardinal Newman High School. And Cardinal Newman High School, half 50% of it was destroyed. And then we have the Seventh-day Adventist Christian Academy off of Mark West Springs Road, and it is gone. So our two parochial schools that are in the area have been destroyed. There are church fellowships that are along out in the business park areas, and some of those are gone as well.
And do we know anything, if I could go to you again, Terrence Mulligan, about Aaron wants to know, cleanup guidelines for folks whose homes or properties didn't burn, particularly in counties like Napa or Solano?
That's going to be more households in Napa than those that burned down. Take the city of Calistoga, for example, which was evacuated in its totality some days ago, but where evacuation orders were lifted in the last, I think, 48 hours, and folks are going back, and they're getting guidance from people like Dr. Karen Merlucio about how to be safe. They're getting support from the county about services to come and, you know, help with remediation and so forth. But there'll be many more folks who have to sort of clean up than have to rebuild. That's something that we're going to try to pay attention to in the weeks ahead.
And let me remind listeners, we're talking about reentering after evacuation. What has been your experience? We do want to hear from you. And also, what questions do you have? You can join us now toll-free, and I invite you again to do that at 866-733-6786. Number again to call, 866-733-6786. A comment from Kerry Feibel, KQED's health editor, regarding the accuracy of airnow.gov. We read a comment about that just a few moments ago. She says, airnow.gov is recommended by the Bay Area Air Quality Management District and the UCSF doctors I interviewed. It's true they can't put sensors everywhere, and they have to aggregate the data and make estimates for the hourly updates, but it is still the best source that I and others know of for making those estimates. And Sophia wants to know, let me go again to you, if I may, Terrence Mulligan. She says, I donated money to the Napa Valley Community Foundation. What are they going to do with the money specifically? You've already pretty much outlined that, I think, you know, in terms of where the priorities are. Do you want to add anything?
Well, sure. Firstly, I want to thank her for her contribution. It's been overwhelming to see more than 5,000 people in 7 days have made a gift to our disaster relief fund. We were also called to be of service after the earthquake 3 years ago, and at that time, there were basically two sorts of money available to help. There was government relief programs, and there was philanthropy, because only 4% of Californians have earthquake insurance. This time, if there's a silver lining at all, it is that 95% of us who own a home have homeowners insurance, which covers a fire. And it doesn't mean that the road ahead won't be fraught and challenging and possibly miserable for people who've lost their homes. But it does mean that there's more capital at our disposal to think about recovery and rebuilding. So what we've done already as of last Friday is that we've put out about $600,000 to a core group of 15 local nonprofits who agreed after the earthquake that they would do particular things to be of service the next time we had a declared disaster. And what we're doing now is offering services through the local assistance center that are focused on the immediate and critical health and safety needs of individuals and families. And by the end of the week, we expect to be able to have those same organizations offering cash aid to low and moderate income workers whose earnings have taken a hit because we sort of turned off the light switch on our economy, at least temporarily. And these are folks who would not otherwise be available. Otherwise be eligible to receive cash assistance from the government.
And again, Terrence Mulligan, president of the Napa Valley Community Foundation. Our next caller joins us from Santa Rosa. It's Nick. Nick, you're on the air. Morning.
Yeah, hi. I was going to ask if there's anything that is going to be done about the false reporting that was happening during the fire. One example is ABC's Leanne Melendez said that she was standing in front of Keysight Technologies and that the whole site had burned down when Keysight Technologies is fine. So I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know if we said goodbye to the sheriff, and we also said goodbye to Scott Alonzo, spokesperson for the County of Sonoma. That kind of reporting ought to be reported, would be my advice to you or anybody else who comes across misinformation of that sort. I'm reading a comment, actually, from Pam, who writes, I thought I'd share what we did after Katrina here in Berkeley. Our school, Prospect Sierra, renovated 8 apartments for families relocating temporarily to our town. We supplied everything from new carpeting, paint, and appliances to forks, blankets, and books. We worked with rebuilding together. I hope we can do it this time too. And it just touches the heart realizing all these people who want to help. Here's Ben, for example, who says, as a general contractor, how can I help? I am not looking for work. I would like to volunteer to do estimates or assessments. I just don't know how I can help beyond donating and transporting essentials. Should I go to FEMA and volunteer? And I think the answer to that is yes. Let me go to some more calls. We go to upstate New York. VJ, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I heard this question about your filtration and so forth in your building after the fire. I sit on these committees, chairing these HEPA filtration committees at ISO and in the U.S. My recommendation, HEPA filters would probably not work in a home. It's too has too much resistance for your blowers. You're probably better off using a one grade up from what you're using. Don't use your heater or your air conditioning. Simply run your blower all the time to clean it up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that advice. Appreciate that coming from all the way from upstate New York. We're going to go now locally to San Francisco. Marie, join us. Hi.
Hello. Hi. I just wanted to offer a resource for a lot of people, especially in the area, like in my office where we go to places like Home Depot and the air purifiers are sold out. And so we've actually got these super cleaner plants that are NASA researched that clean the air of toxic, you know, all kinds of toxins and also generate oxygen. And some of those are astragalus fern, English ivy, ahoya plant, cider plant, purple heart, peace lily, Boston fern, actually a lot of ferns. And you can find these lists if you Google NASA.gov plants that clean the air, or the slotegardens.com has a list on their website, and you can buy them there. They brought in a lot of plants for the community if people need them for their office or their home.
Well, Marie, thank you for that. Appreciate that. In fact, appreciate all the suggestions we're getting from listeners. And if you have a suggestion along those lines, people really do want to be helpful at these terrible times. We welcome it. And you can join us with that or your stories at 866-733-6786. I want to go back to Terrence Mulligan. In general, Terrence Mulligan, all these people who want to volunteer, what do you tell them?
We tell them to go see our good friends and partners at the Napa Volunteer Center, which is a program of the Center for Volunteer and Nonprofit Leadership. They have done a beautiful job since the first hours of this disaster of getting people who want to help connected to where they can be of service. And so we continue to see lots of people who want to come up and want to be useful, and that's where we're sending them.
And Steve Harrington, Steve Harrington, Superintendent of Schools in Sonoma County, I'd asked you before about trauma, and you said that to some degree there are resources available for young people, and there are a number of those that you had mentioned. But what kind of trauma are you actually seeing in the nature of trauma?
Well, in the area of trauma right now, what we're seeing is children that see themselves sort of disconnected. They have no home. They're have no school in some cases. And so they're feeling disconnected. And so the counselors are dealing with that right now. And there's a sort of a grieving that young children are going through since their security has been altered and changed. So that's what the counselors are reporting to us, this sense of loss that there's no security and safety, and young children need that. And so that's what the counselors are reporting so far as the biggest area of reassurance and connectivity. The dogs are the dogs that give that comfort dogs are out in the schools. They started today, but those are reopened today. So we're trying to do that with the counseling group.
And if I could go back to you, Terrence Mulligan, again, Terrence Mulligan's president of the Napa Valley Community Foundation. The housing market is so tight up there. Where are people going to go?
That is the $64,000 question. The vacancy rate in Napa, even before the fire, was a very small single-digit number. I believe Napa was the most expensive small metro market for housing in the country. At least that was true on the eve of the Great Recession some years back. And that's a discussion that everyone in town is eager to tuck into. There just isn't that much inventory for people to consider renting. And one thing I would say is that the Community Foundation has been involved with other civic actors in recent months to talk about a new approach that would be helping homeowners who want to finance accessory dwelling units, or, you know, granny units in the vernacular. And that's a discussion that may be accelerated as a result of what's happened up here, because we just need more places for people to live that are attainable.
All right, I want to get another caller on quickly. Tom is joining us from Sonoma. Tom, go ahead.
Oh, I just was sharing an impression. I left Incline Village 10 days ago and moved into our house here. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. And I just returned to my house this morning. We had been within about 2 miles of the fire. So
and the house is where, Tom?
On the east side of Sonoma, near 5th Street East.
Yeah. What's it look like?
Well, it's intact. Our neighborhood, the fires came within about a mile or so of us. And so there's a lot of smoke and ash, but it's safe. My concern is I literally moved in on Friday and Sunday got the notice that the fire hit. And so I'm a new resident, and I just wonder what the future of this place will be.
Well, that's what we're all wondering, but I'm sure you're glad to be home, and I thank you for that call, and thank all the people who called, and thanks to Steve Harrington, Superintendent of Schools, and Terrence Mulligan of the Napa Valley Community Foundation, and all the others we spoke to. When we return, we're going to meet Jennifer Egan. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.